I'm Roland Smith, and you are listening to Smith Sabatino on the Envision Radio Network. And sitting in today for my partner, Carl Sabatino, is Alan Marcus, an extraordinary individual who runs a public relations firm in the state of New Jersey. It's kind of global. You're all over the place, aren't you?
We try to be, Roland.
And he's also one of the finest political analysts that I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
And Roland, you're one of the finest anchors that I've ever had the pleasure of working with.
Well, I was going to say that you're the only one I've ever worked with. but if you said the same thing, we'd both be up the proverbial residue waterway without
I'm sure our listeners are really interested in this dialogue.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, since you're sitting in for Carl, and normally what I do in our opening segment of each hour is to offer something that we could discuss. And I read something the other day about power versus force that I'd like to share with you. It's from a book entitled Power versus Force by David Hawkins. He's a medical doctor and a PhD. Now, I believe this singular passage defines a lot of what's going on in the world today, especially with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, or any country, religion, organization, or individual who uses force to demand allegiance to a particular ideology. Now, here's the quote. Power is always associated with that which supports the significance of life itself. It appeals to that in human nature, which we call noble, in contrast to force, which appeals to that which we call crass. Power appeals to that which uplifts, dignifies, and ennobles. Force must always be justified, whereas power requires no justification. Force is associated with the partial, power with the whole. Now, Alan, you've worked in the political arena for a lot of years, and you've probably seen both power and force.
Rowan, I've seen power, I've seen force, I've seen power exercised for the better good, betterment. I've seen it misused. I will tell you that in no place has anybody ever read a book like that in politics and then decided whether they were applying power or force. And that may be part of the strength, part of the weakness. Power and force come naturally to people, and they apply it as leadership. And when they apply it as leadership, that's how you make progress. Generally, because you forge consensus. You take that strength, that power, and you direct it. Where some of the problems that you kind of outline here is that it is misplaced and misused and misdirected in all too many cases. We see that today in terms of the power struggle in Washington between the executive branch, the president, and the Congress.
Do you agree with the essence, though, the fact what power is and what force is and the difference?
I'm not sure that I agree or disagree. I think I look at it and say that there are people of ability and that have ideas, and they have the force of their ideas and the power of their personality to make those ideas become factual or become part of the agenda.
Would you say that's called politics?
Well, it may be politics. I think it's a way of life. I think there's good politics. There's bad politics. The politics that I first knew is not the politics that's practiced today, because the politics that I grew up on was the politics of consensus for the most part. Mm-hmm. And today you don't have a politics of consensus, and that's what's missing.
We have politics of contention.
Yeah, and that doesn't work. That's not politics. That is what has become politics, but it doesn't work. Politics is a positive. It makes things happen. Today's politics is the politics of destruction. Nothing happens.
All right. With that thought, we'll be right back. So stay with us.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What are the three most common complaints parents have about their children? Straight to the answers. Number one, my child doesn't listen. Number two, my child doesn't follow directions. And number three, my child will not wait their turn. But there's more to these simple sounding issues. Here's the science of what these complaints really mean. Say your child won't listen, memory problems are involved. You say your child doesn't follow directions, they may have difficulty understanding and processing. And your child won't take turns, could be be impulsivity. What's the cheap psychological trick? The inability to listen, follow directions, and impulsivity may just be misbehavior, or it could be more. If you, the teacher or coach, notices that one or more of these problems are in excess, and if you have difficulty controlling it, ask for help. Check out my new book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. In what may be among the longest running and widest ranging cases of science fraud, the New York Times has confirmed that Dr. Scott Rubin completely fabricated the data used in over 20 pharmaceutical studies. The studies promoted the safety and benefits of drugs from well-known companies like Pfizer and Merck, featuring a huge range of drugs from Lyrica and Celebrex to Effexor. Looks like Dr. Rubin was being paid by Pfizer and Merck to likely concoct success stories when there were none, with a now confirmed money trail between him and at least two of the aforementioned major drug companies, companies which have made untold millions off his fabricated findings. Meanwhile, American households are dealing with medications stemming from some 20 of Dr. Rubin's medical studies. Doctors may now want to research prescriptions before writing them. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.